Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I got a ton of respect for Pete Carroll. He's been doing this for almost 30 years, whether at the college level or the NFL, and I think he only has 4 losing seasons. So that's a credit to who he is. The teams take his identity. They play hard. They play fast. They play physical. They fly around. And I know that he'll have this group ready to go here this week.
That was Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. We are broadcasting live from Old Crow Smokehouse here in Wrigleyville, and we've got something for you. Come out and register to win a pair of tickets. Game 1 of the NL Wild Card Series this Tuesday, if it is at Wrigley. We want it to be at Wrigley. We want to yell at the Cubs. I want them to hear me. Guys, can you please make this at Wrigley? They're close. That's right. We are giving away Cubs playoff tickets to Game 1 of the Wild Card Series, courtesy of Budweiser. We are here until 6. Our drawings are at 4:30, 5:30, and 6. You've got to be present to win. It is all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud is for you. And getting back to what we just heard from the Bears head coach, it is Ben Johnson. That was the plan. He was the leading candidate out of the coaching cycle. As we know, all of this is established. But this weekend, the Bears face the Raiders, who are coached by Pete Carroll. And that got me remembering, because it's easy to happily forget, that I believe the first we had even heard about the concept of Pete Carroll coming out of retirement was the report that he could possibly be interested in the Bears. He ends up talking to Tom Brady and the rest of the Raiders contingent, goes to Vegas, but that man has an impressive resume. At 73, 74 years old, he's a young 73 or 74. I think he was born in December. But when Pete Carroll talks and he's interested in your team, you listen. And I still respect the heck out of him and his career as he is now coaching yet again for this Vegas Raiders team.
He was number 3 on my list. Like, it was Ben Johnson 1, it was Todd Monken 2, and it was Pete Carroll. Like, those were my 3 preferred coaching hires by the Bears. Mark, did you have him up on your list, or was he even a consideration back then?
Yeah, he's a whole 74. He turned 74 in December.
Yeah, I was a little worried about the age factor, but what I liked was the credibility factor and restore. Like, he felt like a restore order to the organization, which clearly it needed, and it feels like getting Ben Johnson feels like a big time restoring of order. But I definitely had him. Todd Monken too. I like this style, and I know that we all learned that he was a little bit aggressive in his style and his language and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if any of that matters. Also, fast fact, his father, Bob Monken, was the head coach at Lake Park High School in Roselle and Medina, Illinois, where I went to high school. So I knew his dad. I didn't know him. I knew of him and probably said hey to him in the hallways at some point in time because I did not play varsity football at Lake Park. But Bob Monken was a big deal. Like, he was there forever. And Todd is his son or nephew? I think it's his son. But related nonetheless. So a little bit of bias on my part.
Well, and I also think that when we mention those 3 names, for example, they all carry a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And offensive minds, too, when you consider, at least on the side especially of Monken and Ben Johnson, what they bring to the table. Like, I know that the Ravens have been in some tough losses, but their offense is still one of the best in the game, and it shows, and it showed even against the Lions, even though they lost that game. I say all of that to say, Pete Carroll being interested also even encouraged me about the Bears' outlook when somebody like that wants to be a part of your team.
I I look back at that time now so differently, because what really resonated with me was the way the story is told by both the Bears themselves and by Ben Johnson. They started the call off, "I want the job." And he ended the call, "I want the job." And I think this was a very popular job for people to be interested in because of the quarterback, regardless of anything else around the organization.
Well, I think also it's some of the chatter that gets debunked. People know I'm not necessarily one who capes for the Bears. But the idea that they didn't pay or they weren't going to pay a head coach, they proved it with the Ben Johnson contract. But if anybody who was a quality name in the league wasn't interested, you would have heard about it. Or they'd be missing from the list of candidates who they wanted to interview.
They talked to a
and
lot of people.
That wasn't the case. You think Pete Carroll can't find out how much the Bears were going to pay? You know, that's part of this, too.
Oh, yeah.
They attracted quality names because the quality names knew, I think, what that team was about.
Right, and because it's a big market, which is not for everybody, I would say, like, I hesitate to say that it's a good job. And hear me out on this. Like, because on the surface, it is. It's one of the charter franchises. It's Chicago. It's the Bears. All the legacy. The big market part of it. What it is a hard job, and you could just go through, and maybe it's because the Bears have just hired the wrong people to do the job, and we've done that argument, and we can do that again at another time, but ask the predecessors, all these guys that came in, like I think of Matt Nagy. I think about how excited we all were when Matt Nagy came in, how happy he was, and he gets chased out of town, and all the predecessors. It's for whatever reason, and probably offense, and probably quarterback, and probably conditions
and
at Soldier Field,
and
timing.
Whether or not the head coach and the head coach is being hired by the GM, who is also picking his quarterback, et cetera.
Yes, it's for all those reasons, organizationally, the top, the ownership, for all those reasons. It's always been a really hard job in this town. Now, maybe things have changed. Maybe the force is with the new head coach of the Chicago Bears and Ben Johnson, and he's getting paid $8 million to do it, and it appears that he's been given some degree of power that maybe his predecessors were not given.
Wait, did you say $8 million? I thought he was getting paid
13.
Yeah. Who's getting $8 million? I'm thinking
Craig
Council.
The guy up the street.
We're in Wrigleyville. That's all I see is Wrigleyville.
It's okay. I named three different athletes trying to get to Ferguson for the Cowboys.
That's
so
true.
Fine.
You know, it's actually pretty cool, though, to know that in this town we have two of the highest paid coaches and our managers for their respective teams.
And you know what? It's Chicago, so that's the way it should be.
It should be. You're right.
And
I shouldn't be
applauding
it.
You have a Hall of Famer coaching the Bulls.
Yeah.
That's true for his college work.
Yeah. No, but listen. If you're in Chicago and it's a sport where there is no salary cap, that's why expectations are what they are of what the teams should be doing.
Well, I'm reminded of what Buddy Ryan said when he said, ooh, you know, Chicago and Philadelphia do not suffer fools.
Mm. Fair.
And those are two places where if you are doing what we do, that's where you want to be. The fan base knows. You know, for all the jokes we say about, like, I'll tell you what nobody's talking about and the Bears won't win a Super Bowl until they get a stadium, whatever silliness, there's a lot of substance.
Yeah.
And I think a guy like Pete Carroll knows what's up. When he's on to something, I'm listening.
The last palate cleanser coach in this town, unfortunately, was John Fox, because he came in and cleaned up, at least on the surface. This is why maybe I wasn't in love with the idea of Pete Carroll, because we all thought when John Fox came here, everybody was applauding it. Okay, we know who he is. He's been to the Super Bowl.
Resume.
He was the opposite of Trestman.
Exactly.
Had the resume.
He'll restore order. He'll come here.
He did not have a toolbox of concepts.
Right.
He had a garage of record.
Wow. Right. It's all a problem.
And it did not work with John Fox. It was really bad with John Fox. John Fox was already retired, it felt like, when he came to the Bears. So
GM did betray him.
Yeah, what do you mean, in not telling him that they were going to draft a quarterback?
Yeah,
that's...
I heard that's a
pretty important position.
I think, yeah,
field.
You probably want to at least share that, if not allow for some input or some opinion. But yeah, that probably went into what I thought about Pete Carroll. But of course, Pete Carroll is a different cat at this point than John Fox was at that point.
Well, and let's listen to what Pete Carroll had to say about the Bears and what he's seen from the other side now as the Raiders head coach.
I did watch him a lot, and watched him a lot looking at that job, too, you know, and had a chance to check him out. And he's a very, very special athlete, and he's got great sense, great awareness about throwing the football and running the football. He's a he'll be a prolific scrambler, you know, and by the time we check out his years, he's really good at it and throws really well on the run, too. So they have a really nice system. You can see it already coming through. Coach Ben's doing a nice job teaching these guys, you know, what he believes is important in offense. You can see that there's a lot of changes from when they were last year. So Caleb can do whatever you want him to do. So he's a very dangerous player to play against.
Isn't that just beautiful? Like, Caleb, he's right about that. Like, you know what that is? That's arm talent. He can do whatever you need him to do. Now, can Caleb continue to rein it in like he did last week and have the right touch for the right throws and not be inaccurate as he's been? That's always been the question with him. But the arm, like, that part throughout it all, no matter what you think of Caleb Williams, has not gone anywhere. It's like having speed, as we talk. Speed never slumps, I guess, until it does. But it's like the same concept. That's not going away anytime soon.
I also think Pete Carroll is a guy who, because of his vast resume, both in the college and the professional game, he knows how to plan for his talent. He knows how to coach to people's strengths and their weaknesses. And so when something sticks out to him, you can trust that he's got a game plan around that.
Really, when I hear him talk about Caleb, the question becomes so much more obvious. And not that it wasn't obvious before, but it becomes more obvious. It's like, the question isn't what is Caleb capable of, it's can Caleb be coached? And can he be coached well? And that's what we're really seeing right now with Ben Johnson. And I'm sure all these other coaches who talked to the Bears, including Pete Carroll, were all, you know, wiping a little saliva out the corner of their mouth, because the drool is there when you know you can go to a place and there's not a question about the quarterback. Think about all the
people.
Well,
there's a lot of questions
without
about
talent.
Caleb,
there was
though.
A question about the quarterback when Pete went to Seattle after a while, and then look what he did with Geno Smith.
Exactly.
And then
so,
he brings him to Las Vegas.
Hey, how about just go back to Russ Wilson, man? He's the one that made who was their incumbent? I can't remember who the incumbent. There was somebody they paid.
Was it Hasselbeck?
No.
It wasn't a Hasselbeck, but something like that. Matt, we know who we're talking about. There was a guy that was paid
Danks.
A pretty decent. Don't
Danks.
Worry about Danks.
It was definitely John Danks.
It was definitely John Danks. Don't worry about John Danks. He was taken care of. Mark Burley was not taken care of. So never have to ever worry about John Danks again.
No, but
what,
the point,
again?
No, we don't have to worry about him ever again.
When you're talking about like a guy like Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah. We're still trying to think
and
of who.
He's a guy who's, you know, obviously drafted in the third round and ends up winning the job his rookie season, right?
On Pete Carroll's watch.
And
it's a ballsy move.
When they said, oh, by the way, your quarterback's not going to be Matt Flynn.
No, there it is, Matt Flynn,
who
was with the Packers.
And they paid him money. They paid him good money, Matt Flynn.
God, that was
Packers,
so long
right?
ago.
I think he was with the Packers, I want to say, Matt Flynn.
So Flynn was with the Packers before he signed with Green Bay and he got flipped.
Flynn.
But to pay him all that money, and then and that's what's great about the Great Northwest is sometimes, like, you don't really know what's going on up there until something happens.
Yeah.
That was one of those things happening that all of a sudden there's a spotlight on Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
We're not sleepless in Seattle
right,
anymore.
Right, all of a sudden they've got the greatest fans of all time. And
stealing the A&M 12th man and
That was A&M originally?
That was the A&M trademark,
that's how powerful the NFL is. I always just thought that was a Seattle thing, man.
No, that was a Texas A&M thing.
Sorry to Texas
the
right at this
the
moment.
Point about what happened in Seattle there and with Pete Carroll and, as you mentioned, his coaching resume and everything else is when he starts talking about a quarterback in a certain way, you understand this isn't just another guy, which no one thought because 1-1, you know, first overall pick taken. Everybody's looking at this guy, Caleb Williams, and of course they think I can get the best out of him.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Anybody worth it, yeah.
People think that, but Carroll actually does it. Here's what he had to say about Ben Johnson's offense.
Very innovative, creative guy, willing to take chances on style of play. He had very balanced attack in running pass and by their situations. You know, he's reading his notes after the game. You know, he knows what he's doing. So we don't see a lot of holes there. You know, he's a very, very adept coach. And so he's reaching the quarterback, making sense. He's got weapons to go to. We got our hands full.
That was Pete Carroll talking about the Bears. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. I just want to listen to whatever he has to say. That's an observation. Because if he's talking about a positive, there's a reason.
That man has seen so much and knows so much and is so well-respected. I find myself, And I'm looking at you guys while we're listening to that sound, and everyone's just highly tuned in.
What's the old man saying? Because there's not a lot of them left now, right? They're all the young. Look at the division that the Bears are in. Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, obviously Ben Johnson. The kids are taking over, man.
He is the elder statesman of the NFL just from a strict, not only an age standpoint, but he's done things. He's been to Super Bowls multiple.
Bill Belichick. Who's left even, like, of the old guard? Is Jim Harbaugh the old guard now? I mean...
That's a good question because of his – I think about the success at both the NFL and the college level, too.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, Pete just turned 74. He is a young 74, and I think we can all say that confidently knowing his energy. I feel like Mike McCarthy was a part of that. He's not coaching anymore.
Yeah, he was up
Tomlin,
there.
I guess, is the old guard. No, that's Mike good. Tomlin the old
I've
guard
got
now?
A name, and you're going to be like, yeah, you're
oh,
right.
Oh, here it is.
Andy Reid.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's literally how old is Andy Reid? 63, 64?
67 years old.
67 years old.
I think.
What about Tomlin?
Andy Reid is that old?
Think about how long Andy Reid's been around.
I don't. I just think of him being here. I think about him being one
and,
with
and
us.
He always looks the same, like, which is not necessarily a young look or
he
an
is
old
67.
Look. It's just an Andy Reid mustached look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like that when he was 11.
I also judge Andy Reid by his offense, not necessarily his age. That's how I feel about him.
He's still got it, man. And then Matt Nagy will take over when he doesn't have it anymore.
Mike Tomlin's only 53, guys. He's got miles to go before he leaves.
It's the tenure with the same team.
20 years. Yeah, how long has he been there?
I think 18 years.
Yeah. For 18 years. What's the record? Tom Landry or something like that with the Dallas Cowboys.
What's the ceiling? It's Super Bowl. That's what
that's not
the question you asked.
No, enough with your ceiling and your Super Bowl. You just want to get that in there and every chance you get.
You need to accept a game above 500 for starters. Wow. That is the standard.
No. Tomlin needs to accept that.
Tomlin's going to get you above 500.
Did you hear what Mark said?
Aaron Rodgers is not going to take it down.
Did you hear what Mark said?
I did.
Five or six wins? Isn't that what you said?
I did say that. What's the record right now?
I mean, it's... These are the details that happen in the league, right? A team that I always say you're going to win a game that people didn't think you were going to win. You're going to lose a game that people thought you were supposed to win. And there's always some team that is going to prove you wrong or right. Or there will be a surprise.
Except that.
Typically, I think it's in the NFC. That's just me.
Beautiful thing happening on Clark Street right here. As I'm seeing.
The wheeling of the t-shirts.
And the most prominent shirts were Da Pope. And something about old style or something like that. So it was hilarious.
Wait, what was the other one?
You got the old style. The old style.
Oh, the old style. I'm like, what did you just say?
So I don't know if they can hear us out there, but if you can hear us out there, we're giving away tickets to the Cubs game next week, wild card game one. If it's at Wrigley, you can register for some free tickets. We're giving them away at 5:30.
No, 4:30.
Oh, 4:30.
In 10 minutes or so,
Oh,
yes.
We're giving away our first tickets in 10 minutes. Get down here now.
Stats. People. Courtesy of Budweiser. And, yeah, we're at the Old Crow in Wrigleyville. That's why we describe, give the play-by-play of everything that is happening inside the Old Crow and outside of it. I love seeing Wrigleyville come to life. Like, because that's what we've been here. I love seeing the Old Crow come to life, putting up the decorations, getting everything set up. Here we are. So come join us here at Old Crow.
Old Crow brought out a whole field worth of corn husks and a bushel of pumpkins for us and everything.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm sitting on a hay bale.
We definitely needed the time lapse. We should have done that
It's very pumpkin spice aesthetic.
Well, no, I don't like
pumpkin. I was going to say, you do not like pumpkin spice.
I do not like pumpkin.
Where were you going with that?
I was like, I like that you guys like pumpkins.
You wanted to like that.
Yeah, I wanted
you,
to.
But, I wanted in on that pumpkin talk, but I just can't do it.
I can't lie. I got
not even for the radio.
That is what we call a mental audible. This is Raheem Harris and Grody. We are filling in. We show swapped with Spiegel and Holmes because they are on a plane to Vegas. But you know who rolls with us no matter where we are? Paul Charchian. The chief execution officer of the Guillotine Leagues, your fantasy football weekend, and mostly Marshall's sad fantasy football team.
Hey, we're 1-0 in the last week.
Stop being so sad.
We're 1-0 in the last week.
Caleb Williams at quarterback. You saw what he did.
The weekend in fantasy football. Church will set us up starting with tonight. That's next on Raheem Harris and Grody, live from Old Crow on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
Paul Charchian, fantasy football guru.
And we get to find out now if all our fantasy drafts, we all love our teams right now. Half of us are going to be like, oh, what have I done?
Chief Execution Officer, Guillotine Leagues at fantasylife.com.
Next week, you know what I would like to hit on non-fantasy with you two?
What's that?
Both of our teams made knee-jerk decisions to extend their general manager needlessly on the last years of their deals.
I like yours a lot better.
Yeah,
than
I don't
ours.
Think that's a fair comparison. Yeah.
Paul Charchian with Raheemy Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I mean, I wouldn't call it my fantasy necessarily to extend Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, but it is a topic that we will tackle today. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody. We broadcast live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville.
And yeah, we'll get to Paul Charchian in just a moment. You got about a minute, maybe 2 minutes, until we draw our first tickets to next week's Game 1 wild card. You got tickets out there. So if you haven't registered, you need to run up here right now and register to win two tickets to the wild card series Game 1 next Tuesday, if it is at Wrigley Field. We're giving away tickets at 4:30, 5:30, and 6. You must be present to win. It's all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud is for you.
And now we go live to a place that I have decided to call the Charge Dome. Paul Charchian, he's the chief officer of the Guillotine Leagues. He gets you ready for fantasy football every week here on 670 The Score with Raheemy Harrison Grody. And he's also at fantasylife.com. So before we get to the GM discussion that I think is very valid, Charch, in the NFC North, you're talking about the Vikings, we're talking about the Bears. Let's start with what is going on in fantasy football. I didn't necessarily make the connection until you pointed it out that when the Giants decided they were going to say Jackson Dart is starting for the rest of the season, what does that mean to the Giants offense and also anybody who may want to pick up Dart? What does this mean for guys who had Russell Wilson? Because Russ has given him already some pretty good weekends for fantasy.
Unlike Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart actually cares. He had a fierce competitor in college. You know, Wilson, I sleptwalked through last Sunday night's game and professionally embarrassing performance that I think chisels away at his otherwise potentially Hall of Fame resume. So let me ask the three of you. Do you think Russell Wilson is a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he an eventual Hall of Famer? Or do you think he's on the outside looking in and never actually gets in?
I mean, I think number one, it's the service time in the league. Number two, he has a Super Bowl MVP to his name, so you got to factor that in. I do recall the time where he threw for 450 yards against the Cowboys two games ago. He's got 46,913 yards to his name, and for the career, that puts him 15th among passing leaders in the National Football League.
I think he's an eventual Hall of Famer. Yes. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
It's the guys who he's ahead of where it starts to get compelling. Because Joe Flacco is behind him at 16th. Then you've got Carson Palmer, Vinny Testaverde.
None of whom are even close to being considered Hall of Famers. Right?
Drew Bledsoe and Dan Fouts. And then ahead of him is Fran Tarkenton, Warren Moon, John Elway, climbing up the ladder, Eli Manning. Then you get into Matt Stafford at the top 10.
Those are all Hall of Famers above him. So he comes into that fringe area. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler, but he's only been all pro just twice.
And that does matter. Once. Yeah, that matters in the resume,
yes.
I think.
How about this? You know how many MVP votes he has gotten his entire career?
Off the top of my head,
I do not know. Tell us.
Zero MVP votes for Russell Wilson in his entire career. So he won one Super Bowl, and then he lost one, of course, and he lost it on his own interception. There's a lot of people like, well, he should have won two Super Bowls. He could have won two Super Bowls. Yeah, they should have run the ball in that play, but he also gave that game away. So I don't know. I feel like Russell Wilson's chiseling away at his own Hall of Fame. He's padding stats. you know, like the 49,000, you know, passing yards, whatever it was. You know, he's padding his stats with these last couple of years, but I don't know that he's doing himself any favors in his Hall of Fame attempts, because what we saw was some of the worst quarterbacking imaginable for an end of game sequence in this last game. But
Jackson Dart now is the sixth quarterback that Malik Nabers will have worked with, and he's a second year player. So this is crazy. But is Malik Nabers? I mean, what's the effect, bottom line, on this offense?
Positive. Has to be positive. So you don't want to read too much into preseason. We know that, but Dart looked really good. He completed 78% of his passes. A lot of it was short stuff. And Lane Kiffin didn't ask Jackson Dart to develop a lot of progressions at Ole Miss. It was a lot of first read stuff. But I think that's what we're going to see initially, is a lot of short, catchable first read looks for Jackson Dart while he acclimates. But where Jackson Dart can be special for fantasy is his legs. I mean, he's got the big frame that you see in these power running quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's going to be Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen, but he can be like a level below those because he's got the big body. He embraces contact downfield. And if you're Brian Daboll trying to find any reason to keep your job, for the love of God, give Jackson Dart some designed runs, because that's where he can be special and really give you a matchup advantage, especially against a good Chargers pass defense that's just dropped the hammer on three straight quarterbacks this year through the air. But Dart's going to be a helper in fantasy because of his legs, unless Brian Daboll screws this up. He's my quarterback 21 in his debut this week.
21 seems low. I'm wondering where, you know, you've guided me through my tight end problems of George Kittle being on IR. Now Travis Kelce, who is my other two tight ends. I like to run the 12 personnel on my fantasy team.
Oh, you do you?
Yes.
I like that. Yes.
And you gave me a guy in New Orleans Saints tight end to lean on. But is Travis Kelce even worth starting anymore?
Boy, it's gotten bad, really bad. Now, you know, you can just look at the eye test. You can tell Travis Kelce is not the same. But let me give you some numbers for what's happening that I think will also add some validation to what you're seeing with your eyes. Travis Kelce's separation rate last year was 3.5 yards. So that's, you know, how far is he from a nearby defender when he's targeted? He's down from 3.5 yards to 2.9. This is a career low. Kelce isn't catching passes downfield. His ADOT, you know, average distance of target, has shrunk to 6.5 yards. That's his shortest number in 11 years. It is hard to fill a box score on 6-yard catches. And let me give you a weird X factor on him too. That shows, I think, the drop-off. Right now, Kelce ranks 58th in tight end pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. Only one tight end is lower, and it's a rookie. This is just not the same guy right now. And Kelce is, from a fantasy standpoint, over the past two seasons, he's been a single-digit fantasy point provider in half of his games. He's got massive downside, just like you saw last week. He is not an every-week starter.
Dang, let me go drop him right now.
We're talking to Paul.
I'm not saying
Tolkien.
That. Let's not get carried away.
Getting you ready for your fantasy football weekend here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And Charge, we'll just keep it going with the sobering nature of watching the Vikings in Chicago, because that win was commanding over the Bengals on Sunday. It also affects T. Higgins, what's going on with Joe Burrow. So what do you think about his fantasy season so far and what the prospects are?
Yeah, so T. Higgins went off the board round 3, most fantasy drafts. Right now, he is wide receiver 60 in fantasy points scored. 6-0, not 1-6, 60. Now, the thing is, it's not even his fault. He's got the league's second worst catchable pass rate of 53%. That's on Jake Browning, who I was actually optimistic. Jake Browning had been a good backup. He got destroyed, but they put his brain in a blender last week. And I'd love to tell you things are going to get better for Higgins because he's a good player. But the problem is you've got Ja'Marr Chase, and when you're a struggling offense and a struggling quarterback, you're going to go to your number one receiver the most. You're not making your progressions when you're behind the league's bottom-ranked pass-blocking offensive line. They rank 32nd in ESPN's pass-block win rate. So I don't think it gets better, and certainly not this week for T. Higgins as he goes up against Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss, arguably the best duo of cornerbacks in the league, and then they get the Packers 2 weeks later. This is a brutal spot for T. Higgins, who also not an automatic starter anymore.
Let's have that conversation, the one you wanted to have last week. I can't believe we're having this conversation, but you wanted to compare the Vikings front office and the man in charge against Ryan Poles, GM for the Chicago Bears?
I do, Marshall. I mean, philosophically, why did both of our teams give contract extensions to general managers who haven't won a single playoff game?
Okay, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's 3 years. We won't count this season yet for him. His win percentage is .667 with the Vikings.
Yes.
That's hard to argue against. That's certainly better for an extension than, I don't know, 15-36, now 16-38.
Okay, that's fair. Both can be true, by the way. And our guy, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, is an awesome human being, A-plus human being. Love that guy. And love his story. That part is all fantastic. But the problem that he has brought, and he's been very good in free agency, by the way, Jonathan Grenard, Andrew Ginkle, Isaiah Rogers just posted the highest graded single score in PFF history. But the draft results, at the end of the day, can we agree? And Mark, you can feel free to chime in here too. At the end of the day, a general manager has to draft well. The backbone of your team is getting starters on rookie contracts.
I love that concept, but when it comes to securing an extension, no, apparently you don't have to do that. And I will again say, the hard part is about the initial extension for the GMs who are new with their teams is just what you said, Charge. Everything's rosy when you've got quarterbacks on rookie deals, when you have a lot of your team on maybe a first or a second contract before they get paid. And I feel like you're right. You can pay those free agents where you can just fill in the spots. But
yes,
at least the win percentage is in the right column for Kwesi. Like you just made a good argument for him. I have no argument for the GM.
He doesn't know what he has. That's the problem with Charge right now.
You don't know how good you have it?
You don't know how good you have it, Charge. Well, and that's fine.
Minnesota sports right there.
Look what Kevin O'Connell did with Carson Wentz last week.
Yeah, he wrung reasonably good play out of Carson Wentz. Kevin O'Connell, I think Kevin O'Connell has helped give Kwesi his second contract. I think we can all agree Kevin O'Connell has outperformed what he should be able to do with the team that he's had. And Kwesi, basically, we're three drafts in for Kwesi. He's hit on like three picks out of the whole draft. He had Jordan Addison and almost nobody else.
We're not doing this, Charge. Do you know what Ryan Poles' drafts look like?
when he keeps the picks, unlike for when he trades, say, pick 32 for Chase Claypool, does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah, that come was on, brutal.
I thought this was going to be a productive conversation, but I have to say I am very disappointed in you right now for making this comparison. But thank you, as always, Sharks. We do appreciate all the fantasy love, and I'm going to definitely make some moves based on what you just told me.
That is a deal, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, so that's Charge. We got some news. Josh Friedman. WGN News tweeting this out. Craig Council said there were some, quote, areas of concern, end quote, in Kate Horton's MRI.
Ooh.
But the rookie starter is a go and will start throwing again tomorrow.
What does that mean, a go? As in he's going to make his next start, whatever that is?
What do we mean, some concerns? Let's find out next. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody. We are live from Old Crow in Wrigleyville. We'll bring you the latest on the Cubs on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harris. Harris and Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody. We are live from Old Crow here in Wrigleyville. We just gave away our first pair of Cubs wildcard tickets, if it is at Wrigley, but that is not our only pair. We got two more to give away. Come out and register to win a pair of those tickets. If the game is at Wrigley Field, it would be game one, which is this Tuesday. That's right. We are giving away Cubs playoff tickets to game one of the wildcard series, courtesy of Budweiser. We are here until 6. We are filling in for Spiegel and Holmes, who switched shifts with us because they're headed to Vegas. We are doing drawings at 5:30 and 6. We just gave away one pair already. You must be present to win. It is all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud is for you. We've been waiting to hear the latest on Cubs pitcher Cade Horton because we heard from Craig Counsell yesterday and Spiegel and Holmes that he was going to have to undergo an MRI. So now we've got this update. Josh Friedman from WGN News saying Craig Counsell said there were some, quote, areas of concern, end quote, in Cade Horton's MRI, but the rookie starter is a go and will start throwing again tomorrow. Those two statements contradict themselves to me. I don't know how you two feel about it, but
well, that means that he's hurting.
Some areas of concern doesn't sound great. That's the whole point of getting an MRI, is it not? And when the back is what they were looking at, your pitcher's back, who is on a pitch limit that's pretty defined because he's a rookie who hasn't been in a big league season like this, and now you're depending on him to potentially throw game one of the wild card. That's not exactly great.
I think it goes back to the answer that Craig Counsell gave Matt Spiegel, talking about if it was a playoff game, he would have stayed in the game.
Good call.
And because of that, they understand there's concern, but it's not obviously enough to shut him down.
Andy Martinez from Marquee also offers this. Craig Counsell said Cade Horton is on track still. Horton is optimistic he can pitch, but he'll throw tomorrow and they will get more input from another physician before knowing for sure. So the more we read, the less confident it gets.
You know what it makes me think and feel, and this is just my opinion on what's going to happen here, that they're going to let him give it a try, take him as far as it can go, and then when the offseason comes, whether it's with the Cubs winning the World Series or not, Cade Horton is going to have some sort of procedure. Doesn't it smell like that? I'm not reporting anything.
What?
It smells like they're avoiding areas of concern.
In
they
your
need to see
back.
Another physician in your back, that they're avoiding having to do like drastic things right now, but it's a concern, and he's, quote, what was it, good to go? A full go? On the go?
Good to go. It was
good to go.
Good to go to throw, I guess, tomorrow.
No, just a go.
A go. Yeah, thank you.
There were no adjectives.
Right.
There were no adverbs.
Take a listen.
All right, let's listen to it to hear exactly how we feel about this as a crew.
Look, Cade is on track still. There's some areas of concern in the ribs, in the MRI. We're going to continue to get more information on it and see where that leads us, use time on our side. But right now, Cade is a go, and he's not going to – we gave him today – or yesterday and today off of throwing. He's going to start throwing again tomorrow, and we're just going to continue to gather information on it. And as the days go on, we'll gather more information and see where we're at.
Okay, it sounds like to me, and we've all heard stories about athletes doing this, people doing this, you can cough so hard that you can hairline fracture a rib. That's a thing.
That's actually maybe the best case scenario because
Amen.
We were talking about a back a minute
yeah.
ago, and if it's just a rib, then that's just pain tolerance.
That's exactly what I thought,
that's
Marshall.
All that is.
That word rib is a very important piece of this.
Oh, yeah. Like, so it could be pain tolerance, too, because that's what it always is with the ribs. It's like, how much can you take? What can you do? How inhibiting is it for you to go out there? And I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, I take back the idea of he might need some sort of procedure when it's not the back and it's the ribs, but that's not to be taken lightly either for the right now. We know that'll heal, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that wasn't published.
Yeah.
That seemed like a key piece of it.
That's a hugely key piece of information.
So more from Craig Counsell in his own words on Cade Horton wanting to pitch.
The reason we want to get as much information as you can is you want to make sure it's safe for Cade to go out there and pitch. He's adamant he can go pitch. We just want to make sure we got all the information before we go out there, and obviously a big spot for everybody.
That is what due diligence sounds like. I love it. I feel so much better 2 minutes after we first came in talking about this than I did then.
Some areas of concern are still.
Yeah. No. But I know what the areas of concern are now. Yeah. It's the ribs. This is a pain tolerance issue.
You still need those to.
And you're going to bring in that second physician to take a look to make sure you can't further damage, because you talked about procedures. Let's do things that don't require procedure.
Amen.
As in, let's not push it too hard that now you need something done.
Right. And this ain't football where you put like a flap jacket on or some extra padding. It's what can you take if that's what it is. Let's just stop using big words like MRI and back injury and things like that scare people. So we'll see, man. And like he wants to go, and he's been pretty level-headed about everything this year in terms of the way that, like, he doesn't seem to push back much. It sounds like he's pretty honest about stuff as well, which is refreshing. So if he's got that desire and that want to do it and he thinks he can do it, then that's a great sign right there. Because guess what? Young pitchers don't want to screw themselves for the rest of their career, no matter how important the playoffs are.
No, I mean, keep in mind, Justin Steele elected to have surgery.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the Cubs do give their players autonomy to be able to make decisions that are the best for them, because typically I think if you do, you're usually helping the team the most in doing that.
Marshall's giving a look.
I know one player gets a lot of autonomy in making his decisions. You do too.
But he's not the only one either.
No, you're right. He's
guys,
definitely not the one.
Agents get involved, parents get involved, like in all this stuff. Like, you forget how young they are too in that regard.
So we are live from Old Crow. This is Raheemy Harris and Mark Grody on The Score, getting the latest information about what's going on with Cade Horton. So minutes ago, we heard Craig Counsell speak to the gathered media ahead of this game against the Mets tonight at Wrigley, which you can hear right here on The Score. But better news than perhaps what we read it as when it comes to Horton's availability. Now, as to whether or not he actually has a defined day where they expect him to pitch, that's, I think, the next step in all of this. Not just throwing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought we were going to hear from him on when he might throw.
Well, let's listen to it then, because we have that information as well.
Can he throw now?
He's throwing tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some, that's why we did an MRI. He's experiencing some symptoms. The area of concern is the same place he was feeling the symptoms. There's stuff to monitor, and we've got to cross some things still. But the fact that he's going out to throw tomorrow, he's optimistic he can pitch. Those are very good signs. I have levels of concern about everything.
Okay, so he started what I thought was snarky, Craig, in his response. He's throwing tomorrow.
Yeah, right. It's always got to have a little snark.
Yeah, and then at the end, he tries to bring a little levity to it, which I can appreciate in his situation. But a city, a fan base, on pins and needles now, waiting for the next report of what happened when he threw. That's the wheels turning for everyone following the Cubs and hoping for big things in the playoffs and understanding if you don't have Cade Horton, that's tough. I think we're all feeling it right now in this moment as you kind of absorb the news.
Right. Well, I mean, again, it's very possible that he goes out there it's a matter of hopefully they'll get some sort of painkiller on him, and we don't know the specifics yet, but I still feel good that he'll at least give it a go. But it's nice to know that there is depth in the starting staff.
I think basically they just ruled out something really bad.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we've heard.
Yeah.
Is he necessarily in a better place than we knew him to be prior to this? No, he's just not in a worse one.
Right.
That's what I gather from all of this.
And you just don't want it to. We want to see wins in this playoff series, because you know what? That didn't happen in 2020. That didn't happen in 2018. So you want to see wins in these playoffs, not just getting there. You want to see some damage done.
Coming up next on Raheemy Harris and Grody, as we are live from Old Crow, we have more tickets to give away. And it is time for 5 on It, which we actually get to do at 5. What a concept.
That's crazy.
How are we going to come back from this?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Once we've gone here, we're never going to come back. The point of no return is next.
I have levels of concern about everything.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.